Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name's Diane Bates, and I'm a technical writer at Google with the SRE organization. Today, I'm going to talk with you about how to work with technical writers. So raise your hand if you like to do documentation. Well, we do. We love to write documentation. At most high-tech companies, there isn't enough documentation for anything. And that's why we're here. If you've ever tried to use a tool that didn't have adequate documentation, or that didn't have any documentation at all, then you understand how time-consuming it is to try to track down the information that you need. Let me tell you a little bit about my background. I've worked as a tech writer for 24 years. I have an English degree, and I worked as an electronics technician for 9 years before I started technical writing. I've worked as a full-time or contract technical writer at several large and small companies with most of my experience at Microsoft, and I now work at Google on the technical writing staff for the SRE organization. We're centered in Mountain View. I helped write some of the chapters for the SRE book that was released last year. So today I'm going to talk with you about why you need a technical writer, how to plan a documentation project, and what you should expect during the doc project. I'll also tell you what to avoid when you're working with a tech writer. So you might be thinking, okay, I know what tech docs are, but why do I need them? What value do they bring to my team? Think of it this way. If everyone who uses your product needs to figure out how to use it on their own through trial and error or by asking you questions or following user lists, how many engineering hours would it take them to learn how to use your product? If you provide one engineer who could spend time bringing a tech writer up to speed on your product, it's going to reduce the cost of engineering hours that's spent by your team, by other teams in your company, or by your users. Tech writers have years of experience writing documentation. They understand what users need and how to organize and write information that will answer your users' questions. You have an important job to do. You need to keep your company's tools and services running. Let the tech writer do the work of writing the documentation. Tech writers are advocates for users, so they'll definitely push back when they see things as a potential roadblock. You can expect us to give feedback on how software works, error messages or UI text is written, and give suggestions for streamlining processes, configurations, or even suggest installations. Let me give you an example of that. At one of the companies I worked for, I was documenting how to install a software package, and the installation took 4 hours. So I asked if I could test the installation with the engineer standing by so I could ask questions. During the installation, I had to add the same piece of information in several places, and you've probably seen this before. And I also received information back from the system that I had to write down so I could enter it later. So I suggested to the engineer that he write a script so that it could take the information I was entering and put it in all the places where it needed it later, and where it took the information that was sent back to me and put it where it was needed. So by the time the software was released, it was simpler to do the installation, and the length of time it took to install was reduced. This is an example of the writer acting as a user, using the product, seeing problems, and giving immediate feedback to the engineer. Now let's talk about planning a documentation project. This is the part that you're going to do before a writer comes on board. People hire tech writers for all kinds of reasons. Maybe your team is spending too much time answering questions from customers, and you just can't cope anymore. Maybe people don't know about your product or how to get started on it. Maybe your users are getting stuck. Maybe you have a new API that needs reference information. Or maybe you have an on-call team that doesn't know how to respond to problems. When you're putting together a plan for your project, you want to think about the types of problems that you're trying to solve. What are the challenges for your organization? What are you trying to raise? Are you trying to raise awareness for your product? Are you trying to onboard new users? Are you trying to help developers use your API? Are you trying to support users who are running into the same issues? You'll need to make the documentation project a team goal. At Google, we use a system called OKRs, which stands for Objective and Key Results. And every quarter, we set team-level goals that help us schedule work for our teams. So whatever system you have at your company, use that to set your goals for your project. You also need to allocate engineering resources for the project. These will be the people who are going to help the writer understand the product, answer questions, and review docs. Make a decision about who's going to work with the writer and then talk with them. Make sure that they can commit to the project. And you want to make sure that they add time into their schedule to work with the writer. Engineers who work with the writer should be recognized for this work during the review process. Next, you need to find a tech writer. Some companies have tech writing teams. If that's the case at your company, contact the tech writing team and find out how to get a writer for your project. If your company or organization doesn't have any tech writers, then you might have to hire a writer through a contracting agency. Finally, you're going to need to figure out what resources the writer is going to need. Do you need to provide a computer? Do you have any specs or other documents that you need to give to the writer? So think about that during the planning process. So now let's take a look at the typical life cycle for our doc project. In general, there are three phases in the project. There's a planning phase where all the objectives and deadlines are set. You plan the doc project, meet with the tech writer, provide resources to the writer, and the writer advises you about what docs you need. Then you have a writing phase where the tech writer starts doing the research, including meeting with people, writing the first draft, sending out a tech review, and then adding changes. And the final phase is where you polish and release the docs. This is typically a second tech review to go over changes by the writer, and the writer adds final changes and then releases the docs. So now let's talk a little bit about what you could expect while working with a writer. Once you get a writer on board, you'll need to have a meeting to scope the project. In this meeting, you need to establish clear goals, expectations, and timelines for your project. You want to give a writer a brief overview of your product and talk about what you need to accomplish when they write the documentation. And this is when you bring in your list of objectives that you put together while you were planning the project. The writer will help you put together a list of documents that they'll need to work on from this list of objectives. Then you need to give the writer one or two point people to work with that the writer can get more details about that they'll need for the documents. You'll also need to talk about deadlines. You'll know the deadline for the release of the product. And you're going to work your way backward from this to establish timelines for each milestone in the writing project. This is something that the writer is going to work with you on. During the scoping meeting, you also want to talk about the best way to work together. For example, when you sync with the writer, would you prefer to do it with meetings or through email or through IM? Do you prefer to have regular syncs? How often do you want to sync with the writer? Is it okay for the writer to contact you for one-off questions? Or do you prefer not to be interrupted during the workday? If the writer is embedded in your team for a long-term project, you should also embed them into your regular team processes. For example, invite them to team meetings or scrum meetings, or invite them to lunch. As the writer gets started, you'll need to help them get what they need. In the first few days of the project, make sure that the tech writer is a member of the right email list, such as user lists or lists for the team. And make sure that the tech writer is a member of the right group so that they have permissions to access the email list or different resources that you give to them. Then in the first week, you want to send links to the writer for the team site and for other resources. And this is when you start sending things like design docs, any proposals you've written, emails that are pertinent to the documentation, white papers, videos, training, presentations that you've given within the company for your product or other documentation that will provide information about concepts, scenarios, procedures, anything else that they're going to need in the documentation. You could also give the tech writer a sandbox environment if it's appropriate for your product. For example, if they need to practice installations or configurations, if you could set up a place for them to do that, that's very helpful. And if they're documenting APIs or error messages, if you could give them access to code, if you're able to do that. If you have testers on your team, you might want to connect the tester with the tech writer. Sometimes the testers will have plans with user scenarios, and that's helpful for the writer. And then the first week, you also need to plan to spend some time to give the tech writer a whiteboard overview of the project. If you have nothing documented at all, then for the first few weeks, you're going to have to spend some time with the writer to explain various scenarios and procedures. This could be done in email or on a whiteboard or just by sitting down with the writer and showing him how to do it on a computer. So it's very important to assign engineers to work with the writer and that other engineers on the team know that they're going to have to answer questions from the writer. Everyone who's assigned to work with the writer should plan time in their schedule for working with the writer. The engineering time should already be allocated as part of your resource planning. So I want to give you an example of what happens if you don't explicitly assign someone to work with your tech writer. My first writing job was with a startup company in the Seattle area. I was told that I would have 1 month to write a manual for how to install, configure, and use a server product, and also troubleshooting information. So I was only the 22nd person who was hired at the company. The environment was very exhilarating because it was a music product, and so there were a lot of musicians in the staff, and music was playing all the time while they were testing software. But the problem was that there were only 22 people in the company, so nobody had time to sit down with me and explain what I was supposed to do during the installation and configuration. So after I was there for a week, two engineers walked past my desk, and I knew that they were working on the installation process. So I tried to stop them to ask them questions, and as soon as they saw me trying to flag them down, they said, "Run away!" as in Monty Python style, and they bolted out the door. And it was at that point that I realized I needed my manager to explicitly assign engineers to work with me, because otherwise I wasn't going to get anything done. Once that happened, the project went very smoothly and it finished on time. So this graph is going to give you a general idea of your time commitments during a writing project, and it might or might not be a graph of network traffic during an outage. Anyway, at the beginning of a project, you'll need to invest some time to bring the writer up to speed. As the writer gets going on the project, there's usually very little interaction, except for an occasional question. So they'll kind of drop off the map for a while. And then when the draft is done, you'll need to spend some time on the tech review. So let's talk a little bit about tech reviews. Tech reviews of documentation are done by the engineers on the team. You should give the writer a list of people who could do the tech review. And typically, the tech review is sent to the entire team. But there's some teams that just want one or two people on the team to do the review. The engineers who are assigned to the tech review should approach it like a code review. They need to give it the same level of diligence as they would if they had code in front of them. If you find a mistake, don't just tell the writer that it's wrong. Give an explanation that'll help them understand why it's wrong. Sometimes if you have background information about that particular thing, it helps a tech writer to figure out if there's a missing step in a procedure, or if there's a concept or a piece of background information that the user should understand before that hasn't been documented yet. Finally, the writer will give you a deadline for the review. You need to deliver your comments by the deadline in order for the writer to have time to make the changes by the deadline. And finally, after all the time and effort is spent on the project, the docs and the product are going to be out the door, and it's time to break out the champagne. If a tech writer is not embedded on your team, then at some point they're going to have to hand off their docs to your team. At this point, you're going to have a process in place to keep the docs updated. The tech writer can help you with this part of it. You also need to assign a caretaker for the docs, a person who will be responsible for keeping the docs fresh. Keep in mind that you've just spent a lot of time and money putting docs together, so you don't want your docs to rot from neglect. Treat them like a valuable asset for your product. So next, we're going to take a look at some things to avoid. You want to have a good working relationship with your writer. Tech writing teams are under tremendous pressure. We often have more to do than people to do it, and our deadlines can sometimes be very tight. So if you need to change a deadline, remember that it will impact the writer or the writing team. If you need to renegotiate a deadline, let the writer know as soon as possible so that they could adjust their schedule accordingly. If the deadline needs to be shortened, the team might need to assign additional writers in order to bring the project in on time. If it's a single writer, they might need to cut out parts of the project. If the deadline needs to be extended, this gives writers space to realign their work and get things done on more pressing issues. So please let the writer or the writing team know when things are going to change. Now I want to tell you a few other things to avoid when working with a tech writer. If you want a tech writer to edit something that you've written, remember that it needs to be within the scope of the project. If it isn't a deliverable, you don't need a tech writer editing it. When you get a technical review, please complete it by the deadline that the writer gives you. Slow response times on technical reviews can break the writer's deadlines. Tech writers are usually writing docs in the final weeks of a product cycle, so be aware that you need to reserve time during that important part of the project. And finally, we are part of your team for a reason. If we advise you to do things in a certain way, please take our advice. Remember that we have training and experience in what we do. And I want to give you an example that illustrates these points of not doing a tech review or not regarding our advice. I had a team that had been together for 15 years. They had written a giant tome about their product, and it was several hundred pages. It was actually pretty well written, but it read more like a novel, complete with flowery language. At that point, the company decided that the product should be available for external audiences, for companies that were asking us to add third-party products. I took the document and pulled procedures and conceptual information from it. I sent the new doc for a tech review, but the team wouldn't return anything to me. So finally, I set up a meeting with them to go through the doc page by page. When the team came to the meeting, their concern was that the information from the original doc needed to be added back in. The information was relevant to the internal team, but not to external teams. It was difficult to get through the tech review because they kept getting sidetracked by discussing what needed to be added back into the doc. The good thing that came out of the discussion was that we figured out that they needed to add a header file to expose to users only the things that they needed and hide some things that were proprietary. The bad thing was that by the time the product was released, the doc still had more information than it needed. This was a case where the deadlines were extended to accommodate the extra work. It's also an example of how the writer can help you to network with other teams. I helped connect the team with another team that had recently written a header file, and I contacted a member of the legal team to work with the engineering team. So good documentation is an asset to your product. Like you, we are professionals, and we need you to trust us. So during this talk, I gave you some information to help you understand the type of documentation that your project needs, plan the engineering time and other resources that your tech writer needs, provide a good foundation of expectations and resources for the writer to get started, be available during the project for questions, follow-ups, training, meetings, and tech reviews, and create a respectful relationship with your writer and respect the tech writer's time and expertise. I'll leave you with this quote. If you can't explain it simply, you don't understand it well enough. While working with the writer, you'll see your product from an entirely different perspective. The job for tech writers is to remove barriers to understanding and improve reliability by providing a process for people to use. For us, the deliverable is not just a document. Our deliverable is happy, productive engineers. Thank you. So if you have any questions, now's the time to ask.
Thanks for the talk, Diane. So you talked a little bit about handing off a project successfully back to a team. Once you've handed off a project, are there ever times that you feel it's appropriate to go back and re-engage? I mean, you talked about, like, have a point person to make sure the docs are kept up to date.
Yeah.
So is there ever a time, like, 6 months later that a team comes back to you and is like, hey, we need your help again, and this is why? And are there, like, legitimate reasons to ask for that? And are there not so legitimate reasons to ask for that?
Yeah, this does happen a lot. And the important thing is to... I think you have to put in a new proposal for the resource, the writing resource. That's the big thing. And if it's approved, then the person will come back and work on it. As far as whether it's appropriate or not, I would think it depends on the amount of work. If it's a major change to the product, it would probably make sense for a writer to come on. But sometimes people do projects in different phases. So they'll have a writer on board for a few months to work on things and then bring them back a year later to continue to update the documentation. So
what would you do if a team, like, you handed it off and they just let their docs, like, they didn't maintain them at all, and 3 months later they're like, oh, everything's out of date, Diane, come help us. Like,
okay, a writer's not just going to come back on the team and work on docs if they're not assigned to the team. So that's a big thing. There are boundaries that we need to set. And if you need to have a full-time writer, then you need to apply to get that resource. But if the person has come on for a short-term project, it's not likely that they're going to be able to come back and update things. You're going to need to have someone on your team who makes updates to the documentation, or else put it back into a new proposal.
Okay. So, thanks.
Okay.
Hi. Thank you for the talk. What advice would you have to recruiting technical writers? What sort of environments they would be more attracted to working in, that sort of thing?
Okay, for an SRE organization, I'm assuming.
But. Sure.
And are you talking about a full-time writer, not a contract?
Correct,
writer?
Yeah, not for a contract, but someone to bring on staff to, maybe they would jump from team to team to team, whatever it is, to work on projects.
Okay, so are you trying to figure out where to go to find a writer?
No, I'm saying what sort of, you got a candidate pool, what sort of things, how would you help sell them on your company, why they would want to work with?
Okay, that's a really good question. So usually if you want to bring someone on staff, it's because you're releasing to an external customer or an internal team. Do you have external?
I'd say both.
Oh, you have both? Okay. I would, first of all, most tech writers are excited about technology. And so if you could sell how interesting your technology is or how important it is to people, is even if it's internal to the company, how important it is to your engineers, that's a big way to bring people in. But that's probably the most important thing to tell writers. And I can't really think of anything else.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi. As you talked, I was unclear as to how much of this is specific to the way that teams engage with writers at Google versus how much of it is applicable in general to how SREs at any organization should engage with their technical writing experts in-house.
Okay. I've worked at a lot of different companies, and the recommendations I gave are pretty typical for any company. And I've worked on a lot of different types of documentation. I've worked on documentation for external audiences, and it's pretty much the same way as it is for internal audiences, although you might have more docs that need to be delivered to an external audience. But really, the process for engaging a tech writer and working with them is going to be pretty close to the same. Okay. Even though the terms like we use OKRs and stuff like that, you know, some of the terms are specific to Google, but the process is pretty much the same.
Thank you.
So.
Hi, Diane. Thanks for the talk. Do you have any thoughts on measuring document success?
That's one of the hardest things. A lot of times, there is one way. If you have a lot of users sending email to you, one way that you might see success is if you're not getting as many questions from people. It depends on the document, though, too, because if you're documenting something like emergency response, like on-call procedures or something like that, then it'll be easy to figure out that people are responding more quickly or they're doing the right things, they're not so confused. It's a little bit easier to figure out, you know, if the document is helping people. But there's other things, like for external users, I would say one way is if you're not hearing as many complaints or if you're not getting as many questions from users, that's a big way. Another way at some companies that we used was engagement with customer support, and that's for external documentation. If we didn't get as many customer support questions, then we figured that the documentation worked. And I actually would work with customer support people to find out what are the questions you're getting the most, and then I could figure out, you know, where I needed to add it into documentation or make changes to documentation so that people would understand things more clearly. So that's another way. That's actually a way that if you want some numbers, if you have a smaller company and you look at customer support engagement. But for SRE, I would say probably the biggest thing that you would see is questions from people. And as you reduce the number of questions, it'll probably be noticeable.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Question about recruiting. So when you're looking for new technical writers, what are the traits that you're looking out for when working with SRE teams or other types of engineering teams so that they work well together? So what do you look out for in candidates for a tech writer role?
Oh, what do you look out for?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, that's
good. Or what do you ask them through the interview process?
Oh, okay. So I would ask about some of the things I talk about. How do you gather information from people? How much time do you spend with people when you're putting together a document? Because you want to think about what their process is. So that's an important thing. I think those are the main things I could think of right now.
Do you usually look for experience working in technical areas before, or have you seen tech writers that are not technical, and then they onboard and become technical?
Yeah, yeah. You don't necessarily have to have a background, a high-tech background, but if you're hiring a writer for your team and you don't have any other writers on the team, you want to look for somebody who has a bit of experience, at least a couple years of experience. If they're more junior than that, then they need to be on a writing team to learn some of the processes that we use to gather information and to put together the document. So try to find somebody who has a little bit of experience.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Well, if there's no more questions, then thank you for coming and have a good day. Thank you.